The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
A quarter after seven, we continue the conversation, this time with State Representative Dwayne Junker from the Josephine County area. Dwayne, it's great to have you back on. What is your House district number again? I know that mostly the politicians that know their House district numbers, I'm always having to be schooled on this, but welcome back.
I'm House District 3.
House District 3. Okay, so Noah Robinson is Senate District 2. Okay, I think I'm going to get things straight here, you know, eventually at some point. Hey, today we have the legislative session, which is going to be starting in earnest. It hasn't gaveled in yet, though, right? Or are we just or has it already gaveled in and we're just doing committee meetings or whatever it is? What is the status of where we are?
Yeah, we've already gaveled in. We had floor already yesterday, no voting on it. Any bills yet? They did read first reading about 100 bills already into the record. So that tells you that they want to move some bills the other side as fast as they can, because time is the essence for them. You know, if we could slow them down, that does help us out. So yeah, we have committee. We had committee yesterday. I have committee today. I have committee at 8 o'clock today on economic development.
Yeah. Which committees are you on, by the way?
I am on higher education and workforce. I am on ways and means education, and I am on economic development and business.
All right. And ways and means, that's the money, right? That's the money distribution or not?
Yes, that would be the money distribution for education.
Okay. All right. Very good. Hey, I'm just trying to understand because, you know, a lot of the inner workings of the legislature are kind of eye glazing over. Would you agree on that? Most of it, and it doesn't make sense to most people outside of it.
Oh yeah, it's very just long. You know, there, it's hard to follow if you're not here or paying attention or understand what they're doing. Or you know, one of my biggest problems with these bills is giving the agency's power to make decisions, and it obviously, as we know as Oregonians, that probably hurts rural people the most when we give agencies power to make decisions over our life. So that is a red flag for me and all the bills I see.
What kind of power is being offered to which agencies in some of these bills? Could you maybe share a little bit about this and why we need to know?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest, hottest topic one right now would probably be, you know, Senate Bill 762, the fire mapping.
Yes.
When you give an agency power, guess what happens? We get screwed. That's kind of how I see it. They get to, this is what I think the legislators thought or were thinking about. And I would say, I disagree. I don't want to give the education department more power to rule over our, you know, our children.
The state university system essentially seems to be running Senate Bill 762 as an example, because they're the ones that came up with the so-called wildfire risk map, right?
Exactly. I'm listening just like everybody has, and I sent you things, and I'm fuming because I'm in the high risk. Just unless I'm in the middle of Grants Pass, but I'm not. I'm in the outskirts, but I am in the city limits. And, you know, I sent you a picture, and all around my house is dirt for, you know, over 300 feet, but it doesn't matter because I'm near the woods. Well, all of Southern Oregon is near the woods. You know what I'm saying? That's just where we live.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is there any talk or hubbub among the state legislature assembly about reforming or maybe even repealing Senate Bill 762, because I don't know if there is a real way to reform it. Now, I talked with Senator Golden a few days ago about this last week, and it was you just look at the way that even the rules have been met. I don't think they're following the law right now when it comes to the appeals, and people are only have a couple of months to go before their appeals have to be finished. And it is so complex and so much of a, well, heads the state wins, tails the landowner loses, you know, kind of. That's the way it looks to me, at least from observing it. I don't have a dog in this fight personally, but how do you see it there?
I would agree. It pretty much looks like a climate agenda that, you know, we live in trees and trees, you know, I thought trees were good, but now trees are bad. And
because trees can burn, right?
Trees can burn. But, you know, like Grants Pass has been Tree City USA for, I don't know, like 30 years or plus or something. Now we're bad. It makes little sense to me. I feel the pain of these people because I'm with them. I got the same letter. I'm looking to hopefully put an amendment in a bill and try to get it put in there to repeal this. But when you're a minority and the majority, you know, the majority has the power, I don't know what's going to happen. They, you know, I can guess that they're going to go care less because, you know, most of the Democrats live in, it's like they took the red areas of Oregon, the conservative areas, and put this as the map for, you know, high risk. That's, mm-hmm. I saw a map like that, and that's what it looked
yeah,
like.
Yeah, if Republicans are coming out of the area, it's high risk. Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Well, that was always kind of the suspicion a little bit, but no, we're told the computers figured it out. It's the climate and the vegetation, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I get it. Now, in all seriousness, Representative Younger, what are some of the more interesting, I'm going to put interesting and scary air quotes, bills that have been read into the record here so far? And what are the, and you have to look at the Democrats. The Democrats have majority power in there right now. What are their goals right now?
Yeah, I didn't go read every stuff. Well, I read quite a few bills. You got to remember, there's a couple thousand bills by now, mm-hmm. you know, House and Senate side, and I've just skimmed through a lot of the bills. Now, I don't know if just because you have a bill doesn't mean it's going to get read in the committee or move forward. And if you watched the video yesterday, them reading 100 bills, it was like, but it, you know, it's like speed, you know, they don't read the whole bill. They just mm-hmm. read the title by only. But I would say there's definitely some bills that people should be watching out for. You know, I have them on my Facebook and I have them on my Twitter, X site, you know, when they're trying to get reparations for, you know, black people, or they're trying to raise our taxes. Paul Evans, Representative Evans is trying to do that.
Is this the, are they trying to raise taxes as far as a statewide real estate tax or a property tax? Is that in that bill?
That bill would, like, it's supposed to be for some kind of emergency, whatever, for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Paul Evans's bill would be a dollar per thousand off of real market value, not assessed value. Most of us are used to getting our property tax off assessed value, which is a lot lower.
Oh, that's interesting. So, boy. So a dollar off of real market value. I hadn't heard that. That is a,
yeah.
Man, that is a, okay. So we have some of these homes then at nosebleed level at the moment. So we're going to tax that rate. Okay. So that's, they're trying to get around then the property tax limitations that were put in place earlier. Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if these will make it, but we all should be fearful and paying attention. And, you know, like I said on my website or X is, hey, once you write him an email and tell him how you feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's think about this. And I would imagine Paul Evans is trying to make, doesn't he claim that he wants to make Oregon more affordable? And so we're going to make Oregon more affordable by taxing, we're going to make housing more affordable by taxing people who have a house so that other people can get a house. Is that the concept here from the?
I would say everything they do is the opposite when it comes out of their mouth. Mm. So when it comes to, we have a housing problem or we have affordability problem, well, they make it unaffordable. They, you know, when they go for the green energy or all this other stuff, well, that makes it more expensive, or you have to have an electric car, all this, you know. Well, we know, you know, in my district, people can't afford electric cars. We've got five of the six poorest zip codes. They can't afford electric cars, and how is electric car going to really benefit them?
Well, I would also add that you had your electric transit bus catch on fire and burn to the ground a couple of weeks ago, if I recall. Did that happen?
Yes, that $400,000 burnt up bus.
Well, I'm sure it helped save the planet until the planet consumed it, I guess. All
yeah,
right. I don't mean to be so sarcastic, but my sarcasm gets rewarded quite richly here. In all seriousness, though, once again, we have to keep this serious here. Do you think that raising taxes have the votes? Do they have enough votes here? Because even though they don't really need the Republicans to get what they want for the most part, are Democrats, you think, united on raising taxes on Oregonians?
I'm taking a really big guess here. I would assume not all of them would be on board because, mm-hmm. you know, not all of them won their races by a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's not very, I don't think it's very popular even for Democratic people that do vote Democrat to pay more money. Mm-hmm. I think that's always been an unpopular thing. So I'd be careful, but we'll see. I mean, anything's possible here. You know, this is just, you really don't know. You know, Oregon's always, you know, the most leftist of all the states, it feels like sometimes.
Are you hoping to, well, let me put it this way. What are you hoping to accomplish, if anything at all, out of all this?
Yeah, I'm hoping to take a lot of the Trump agenda and fight here in Oregon and use hopefully the Fed to home down on a lot of the things that are happening here with the gender policy or the energy policy or immigration or DEI or, you know, the federal oversight. I want to bring some common sense back to things here. There is so much hurting Oregonians, and none of this is really helping. I have a committee here at Economic Development, and, you know, and right on the Oregon, we're going to be talking about Business Oregon, and in Business Oregon, you know, 73% of the population in Oregon is white, but if you look at their website, their focus is on DEI and marginally oppressed people, and you know, you can figure out whatever that is, but I think that's unconstitutional, and I'm going to fight for, you know, fairness for everybody. It should be fair for everybody, equal. You know, that's just how I feel, that the Constitution does not have colors, race, or anything. It's equal. And, you know, here in Oregon, we're always, you know.
Well, there's always a thumb being put on when it comes to race and or who you decide to sleep with, you know, kind of an issue. It does tend to be a big focus from state of Oregon in its regulation. And I noticed that the attorney general is joining a bunch of other attorney generals, and everything about them is fighting the immigration issue. In fact, I guess they're suing Trump administration over the 14th Amendment issue, you know, birthright citizenship. And so that's what the state of Oregon seems to find a real priority in.
Yeah, they have a bill here, actually, that they want to spend $15 million to help immigration. So to get lawyers and everybody, you know, to prop up to fight the immigration law. They want to take – that's taxpayer
to keep illegal aliens here, in other words, to keep them here. Interesting.
Yeah, so they want to take your money from your pocket and fight against the federal law that says they're here illegally, which it's a federal law.
I know. I know, but Oregon does things a little bit differently here, State Rep. Yunker. I appreciate the update on this, at least. I know it's early in the season. How long does this session last until maybe we get close to sine die? I wish it could sine die next week, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, it's on until about the middle of June, so.
Oh, it's going to be a long 2025, Dwayne.
It's going to be a, yes. I'm going to need a vacation after this.
I think we'll have to pitch in on a GoFundMe. We're going to have to get you and your sweetie a nice vacation someplace, nice and quiet. Well,
that's against the law. I can't take any gifts.
Oh, you can. Can you take it after? Can you take it after the legislative session?
No, that'd be a gift. So if you're giving me over $20, I think it's $25 or whatever, I'm getting a gift. But you know what? This is a this is a fight that I wanted to do, and you know, and I want to, you know, I was raised here, and I love this state and in my county and Southern Oregon, and someone needs to do this. Someone needs to fight, and you know,
Well, do this for speaking of that fight, the only tool that Republicans really have is the ability to deny quorum. Now, I know that they want to stop that too. They want to end the quorum requirement so that nobody could walk out. Just remind your caucus that Yeah, Measure 113 passed by the voters who stupidly didn't quite understand what it was all about. The whole idea is unexcused absences. You could walk out. You guys could walk out right now if you wanted to and just throw a monkey wrench into the state legislative session. All that matters is that you have your excuses or your absences excused, okay?
Yeah.
On condition of coming back. Senator Tim Kanope back in the day did not do that because he didn't care, I guess. Apparently he was just leaving. And so just remember, you still have the power to deny quorum on the really big, nastiest stuff that might be coming out of the legislative cloaca. Okay? So you can do that. Just remind your people of that. Could you do that?
I remind them I am, as you already know, I am very unique. Different.
You junkyard dog, Dwayne. Junkyard dog.
I mean, when people come to see my office, they will understand why I am different and I look at things differently. You know, in my office, I encourage people to come up here and they will know what the difference between my office and other people's offices is, because I'm for everybody, not just all this other stuff. But hey, I do want people to come up and testify too. You should come up and testify. You should speak your how you're feeling and tell these people that it's wrong what they're doing to Oregonians. I encourage people to do that.
All right. State Representative Dwayne Junker, House District 3. Thanks so much for being on the show. We'll talk next Tuesday, okay? Be well.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Dwayne has to get into his committee meetings here in the next few minutes, so we've got to make sure. I knew I was on a bit of a time crunch with him. Junkyard dog Dwayne. And I say that admirably, right? And he kind of laughed when I told him about that. This is what I nickname you, you know, junkyard dog, because a junkyard dog's going to defend you, right? You know. And the funny thing is, I guess his brother was nicknamed junkyard dog, or he had that kind of nickname back in high school in Joe County. Pretty funny. He's all right with taking it, sort of a family name. 732 at KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show, 770-5633, 770-KMED.
As we welcome 2025, Dusty's Transmissions encourages everyone to prioritize safety on the road. Let's make this year one of safe and happy travels. Dusty's Transmissions wishes you and your loved ones a new year filled with happiness, safety, and success. Since 1979, your trust has been the foundation of their success, and they couldn't have done it without you. Here's to many more miles together in 2025. Safe driving and Happy New Year from Dusty's Transmissions.
Have a happy and safe new year.
Changing lives, one smile at a time.
7:33 on the Bill Myers Show. Will Hild's going to join me after news here in just a moment, and he is a researcher with Consumers Union, and he wants to dig into this huge story yesterday with President Trump and the executive orders on eliminating DEI and getting these people pushed out of the administrative state. So that's good news. That's actually good news. It's also happening in the financial world, and he's looking at it from that angle, and I'll share that with you here in just a moment. Speaking of the financial angle, if you've been getting your insurance renewals, I'll tell you, look at some of those renewals that come in and you're seeing your premiums double or triple in some cases, or maybe you've even lost some coverage. What you got to do is got to have Steve Yancey from Sky Park Insurance go to work for you. And he's a friend of the show, been a big sponsor of mine for a while, and helping KMED, KBXG listeners save money, get coverage, maybe in some cases get coverage, I guess would be certainly some of it. I know there's been a lot of challenge in some cases because of the wildfire issues and everything else going on. But call him up at 261-5444. Steve works with all sorts of companies, not just one, many of them, and he'll shop it around, try to find the best deal. Maybe you already had the best deal, and if so, he'll let you know that too. If you have a need for Medicare questions answered, that's where Lynn Barton comes in. She's great too. Her number, 499-0958. Steve's number, though, to get in there, get a quote today, 261-5444, 261-5444, or skyparkins.com for more.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
News brought to you by Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
7:39, Will Hild joins me from Consumers Research, America's oldest consumer protection agency. What, 105 years? You folks
been
around?
We're coming up on 100. We were 1929. We were formed.
Yeah, 19. Oh, really? With the stock market crash, right? Is that when you kind of came?
Yeah, it was basically that year. We were not related to that, but it was we were the first product review organization. We issued the first product review magazine in the country, Consumers Bulletin.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. What was the first article or item you ever reviewed? I'll have to find that out sometime. Could be something like, the RCA Victrola here is really, you almost see something like that, right? You know,
it was something like that. We have a lot of our back issues in archive, and like you pick up some of the old magazines, and it's like a review of men's hats, which is not, you know, it goes back to when men still wore
hats. And you needed to find out who was doing a better haberdashery job, I suppose. All right.
Well, and some of them were lined with arsenic, which is one of the things our article talked about. So you had to be careful where you got them from.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that where they got the term "mad as a hatter," the Mad Hatter, that kind of thing?
I believe so. That's my understanding. And unfortunately, part of the reason that our organization was necessary is that there was a lot of dangerous business practices going on. And so our founder, Arthur Schlink, basically started it to help warning consumers and protecting consumers. And so that's been our pedigree ever since.
Yeah. And you have to have someone looking over. It's always good to have someone who is, balanced, looking over the shoulder sometimes of what is going on there. And you have certainly been involved. We've talked before about the ESG and DEI initiatives that the financial world was so involved in. And the information coming out of the Trump administration has been like a fire hose, right? I mean, you can't even keep track of everything that's been going on the last 2-3 days. But recently we had a Fifth Circuit court win on DEI. DEI almost is starting to look like this, like a vampire that's having holy water sprinkled on it right now, and it's burning up and smoking. Or is it still possible that it could come back out of the grave? What do you see here, Will?
With a vampire is a great analogy, because with a vampire, you have to be very careful to make sure you've actually killed it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the situation with DEI. But I will say, for the biblical scholars amongst your listenership, this does feel a little bit like the walls of Jericho are all coming down at the same time, between the EOs coming out of the Trump administration, which are going to absolutely devastate the federal bureaucracy side of the DEI complex. A lot of these agencies were pushing these companies to do DEI, threatening them with civil rights lawsuits if they didn't. That's all gone. These DEI offices are being closed as of 5 o'clock today. And so that's happening. And like you said, we've had a number of huge cases coming out of the Fifth Circuit. There was one against BlackRock and American Airlines just a couple weeks ago, attacking them and holding them liable for engaging in ESG. And then, of course, this one you just mentioned, which has actually been years in the making, but it's a coincidence. It's all kind of coming to a head at the same time. NASDAQ, the stock exchange, was basically trying to force any company listed on a stock exchange to hit race and sex-based quotas for their boards of directors, basically saying, if you want to be listed on NASDAQ, you have to have a certain number of women and a certain number of people of color, I think is the phrase they use, on your board. And this is obviously a violation of civil rights law. This is antithetical to our conception of ourselves as a country, certainly in the year of our Lord 2024. And yet it took years of litigation to get NASDAQ to finally back off of it. And given the ruling that came down from the Fifth Circuit, NASDAQ has now agreed they will withdraw this entire requirement, and we will no longer have race and sex-based quotas to be listed on that exchange. So this is a fantastic victory. And to your point, it's coming from all sides. I mean, you've got these EOs, you've got these rulings, but we're going to have to keep on them, because just like a horror movie, you know, you don't want the protagonist to think, oh, we've killed him, and you walk away, and then, you know, the monster wakes up.
The Terminator. The Terminator movies, I always think about that. Every time you thought you killed the Terminator, and it just, like, would come back and still, you know, grab you with its bony skeletal hand, its metal hand, you know, that kind of thing. What I've been concerned about, though, and is that many of these individuals who, of course, are true believers of the DEI and the ESG initiatives, what does ESG stand for again? It's like environment and social and government. What was that all about again?
Environment, social, governance. And it was built by its supporters as just another kind of investment strategy.
Yes.
What it really was a stalking horse. It was a facade to leverage large asset managers to push corporate America to engage in all kinds of far left
agenda, basically. So whether that's net zero targets for companies in the environmental space, or race and sex-based quotas with DEI in the social space. And then the governance was actually there as the enforcement mechanism. What governance was really a euphemism for is do what we want, or we will replace your board and we will fire you as an executive. So the G is just there basically to threaten if you don't play along on the E and F.
That's not fascism or anything, is it?
Well, it's something. It's the total state, right? It is the marrying of basically the Democratic Party agenda to corporate oligarchs and then forcing it down America's throat without ever having to face the ballot box. And that was really this all got started actually under the first Trump administration when the left had lost the White House. They went to the large asset managers, namely BlackRock, which many people have probably heard about before, but also Vanguard and State Street, and said, listen, you know, we're not going to have the White House. We need all this forced down people's throats through the corporate governance structure.
Oh, so that's
going to these C-suites and saying, here's what we want, or we will punish you.
It's good to know that that's where a lot of this came from. And did Larry Fink agree with this? Yeah, he's the guy that ran BlackRock. Did he agree with it because he's a true believer, or did he see this as a money-making opportunity?
Well, I'd say he saw it as a money-making opportunity, but not in the way we normally think about, like, well, you sell donuts for more than you make them for, and you make money. Larry Fink's entire career has been typified by government favors. We probably don't have time to go into it, but he was actually one of the first people to help innovate the mortgage-backed securities asset class. And when the financial collapse happened in 2008, he was brought in as an expert to help parse the good assets from the bad assets. Well, lo and behold, which company got a slice of the best assets?
BlackRock.
And that's really what set them on their trajectory. He does favors for the Chinese government. And they don't push any of this nonsense over there in China. They only push it here. Well, they get all kinds of special government favors and permissions from that government in return for hamstringing the U.S. government here. So it's the same thing. He gets treated better by the government and got a bunch of sweet deals because he was doing the bidding of the Democratic Party.
That's really interesting. Now, Elon Musk is not necessarily in the good graces of the Democrats at this point in time, but he has, in essence, been a creation of government privilege, wouldn't you say, with the carbon credits and the whole net zero kind of culture. And isn't there something to be concerned about someone that close even advising the president? What do you think?
Well, to be clear, we should keep an eye on everybody. I don't believe anybody is above reproach. And when they start talking like they're going to go a different direction than what was promised, we should hit them for that. And we saw that with the H-1B debate that happened over Christmas with him and Vivek. And I think, obviously, there's a lot for anyone who followed that on Twitter.
Yeah, but isn't that one of the reasons why I think Vivek decided, hey, I'm just going to go run for Ohio governor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think he was told to resign from the Doge thing, if you're reading between the lines on that. And that's not me. That's just been widely reported. So,
well, the bottom line here is that I think a lot of Trump voters were not really happy about the idea of voting for all of this in order to make India great again. You know, that's all.
Correct.
All right.
Exactly. Right. And with Elon, Elon has said he actually doesn't need the subsidies anymore at Tesla, and that, he'd be fine if they got rid of him. So
How convenient. Will, how convenient that he's against the subsidies now after he's taken billions upon billions of them and made his empire from them, huh?
Oh, 100%. What I say, if you want my true beliefs on what Elon is up to, I think Elon was willing to play ball with the Democrats' narrative around climate change and all that nonsense because he always wanted – his big dream is to go to Mars. He's made that very clear. And if you look at his empire, every single thing involved in it is the kinds of technologies you would need to operate on Mars, whether it's battery technology or rockets and everything like that. And so I think he towed the company line. By that, I mean the Democrat, when they were in power and they were handing out these subsidies, I think he towed their line on that because it suited him. Now, I'm not defending that. I'm not saying that's okay.
That's just real talk.
That's just real talk,
okay?
Right.
Will Hild, once again, is the executive director, ED, of Consumers Research, consumersresearch.org. By the way, before I ask you another question about this, can you become a member? Do you become a member of this to enjoy it? What's the story there before I move
on? We're not a membership organization, but you absolutely can sign up to help our work. One, obviously, we're 501c3. We take donations. You can go to our website, consumersresearch.org, consumersresearch.org. But more importantly, you can sign up to get what we call our woke alert. And this is our once weekly text message that notifies you when a company has betrayed you as a consumer by going woke and sucking up to woke politicians. Now, the point of this isn't just to get you angry and mad about things that you don't have control. The point is to activate you to use your voice. And we always include contact information, whether it's a phone number or email or both, to let your voice be heard to these companies. That is more important in many ways than spending your money somewhere else. That's very hard to show, unless you see something massive happen, like what happened with Budweiser. It's very hard for executives to know why sales are down 3%. You know, maybe it was because they did something woke, but maybe it was just because people didn't have as much money that month. Okay.
Yeah.
What's more clear to them is when they get hundreds, if not thousands, of phone calls and emails in reaction to something obnoxious that they've done. And that's what Woke Alerts is about. I haven't looked, but I think we're over 100,000 subscribers. I promise this isn't a spam service. You're not going to get hit up every 5 minutes with, you know, asking you to take some dumb survey or something like this. This is about creating an army of consumers to push back when corporate America is poking us in the eye. And so visit consumersresearch.org to go sign up for that. And become part of the solution to all this.
I'm going to go sign up for that today, and I appreciate that. I never asked you about what that was all about. Thank you. I'm glad you explained that. You know, as much as we're talking about woke and DEI and ESG going down, there are some companies that are actually doubling down. And I would say Costco, the Kirkland Corporation, ended up coming out and saying, "Hey, no, we're just doing more of them." Is that another example of how not everybody is down with this right now?
Exactly, and that's a perfect example of why we can't let off the gas on this, or just think that Trump's going to, you know, sign a bunch of documents and this is all going to go away. I'm not taking anything away from what he's done, but we have to finish the job. And this is, you know, even if they got rid of the official DEI departments of these companies, which many of them have, those people are still there. That rotten ideology, that cancerous ideology, that racist ideology is still inside those people and inside those companies. Those people are going to have to be chiseled out, okay? Because they didn't go to the company to create value. They didn't go to the company to serve consumers. They went to the company to increase DEI, dominion over that company, and push it in a left-wing direction. So they're not going to stop doing that because that's all they know. And so those people are going to have to be rooted out. It's like when Boeing got rid of their DEI department. But if you look at the press release, they moved all the people in the DEI department to other departments.
Yeah, they just got reassigned. And I get concerned that, I know we've had things like this happen in the educational establishments, too. And even when we have things like, remember the restorative justice issue? Remember that Nicholas Cruz over in Florida a number of years ago, the school shooter killed all those people, and how everybody knew that he was a violent problem, but they didn't want to do anything about it because under like a DEI type of program, the statistics looked bad for the public schools if they were to show young men and women being taken out for being violent or being punished, right? And so.
Right.
Restorative justice is what they called it. And so everybody has gotten rid of what they call restorative justice, but it's in under a different name now. Even our local schools, in many cases, have those kind of programs still in there. And they call it some program about like, oh, we're working hard to make sure that kids are kept in school. You know, you put it under some benign thing. I get concerned that as time goes on, you know, you'll say you get rid of DEI, but it reawakens under a different terminology instead of the way you people talk about it, I guess. What do you think?
Absolutely. No, I think this is something that we have to keep an eye out on in terms of rebranding. They're already dropping the E and switching to DEI, just D and the I, because equity, what that actually means is much like what you said with the restorative justice, where you had a disproportionate amount of one group or another being suspended from school so that they stopped enforcing the rules to even it out. This is the same thing. They have, if like, you know, 13% of the country is black, for example, but 13% of the senior leadership of a company isn't black, they will claim that that's somehow evidence that the company is racist until they get up to 13% or more. It's the same philosophy. And that is illegal. That is a illegal racial quota for hiring and promotion, right? So they are dropping the E so that they can keep their DEI program. But the people who believe in that aren't going anywhere, right? Just dropping the E doesn't mean they've stopped doing it. So you have to go in and you have to find these companies that are engaging in race and sex-based hiring and promotion, okay? And you have to sue them and you have to make them pay. And at the point that they understand that if they get caught having one of these people on the staff and then they've engaged in discrimination, they're going to pay out tens, if not hundreds, of millions of dollars, okay? That's when those people start getting their pink slips and kicked to the curb where they belong. And that may sound mean, but if you've seen the level of anti-white, anti-male, anti-Asian, and anti-Christian discrimination that we've seen over the last 10 years, these people deserve to be fired. They have broken the law, and they need to be gotten rid of.
Will Hild, Executive Director of Consumers Research, consumersresearch.org. I'm going to sign up my cell phone, and hopefully you don't wake me up in the middle of the night with woke alerts. Do you do them in the daytime?
No. We very much in the daytime during business hours.
Good.
You will not be getting a 5-alarm woke alert at 2 a.m.
Yeah. I love that. It's amazing. Sometimes you'll get text messages from other companies or something that you're doing business with. It's like, you had to text message me at 1 in the morning? Come on, man. Give me a break.
The intern switched the a.m. and the p.m. when they scheduled the text, and now you're woken up, right?
All right. Will, great talk. Thanks for the explanation of what has been going on. And, even though there is a Trump administration, there's still a lot of work that we have to do outside of that, okay? Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on. Take care.
Will Hild. It is 7:55 KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Joel here at Mother Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now. And what I got going on this month is discounts and leasing. Right now, I've got a 2024 Escape.
Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Interesting times as always. And even though Trump is in, I remember Ruth Broadman from the Jackson County Republican Women. She always called him Trumpy. I always liked that. Well, she grew up in New York, so she knew all about Trump. Oh, yeah, Trumpy. She'd say that affectionately. I love that. Yeah, even though the world is getting Trumpier, there's still a lot of work that we're going to need to do, and certainly a lot of work here in the state of Oregon, as you heard with State Representative Dwayne Yunker. Let me do some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And if you need, let's say, a water pick or special mouthwashes or toothbrushes, things like that to help with your dental care, he has a kiosk there at the store. That's on Freeman Way. It's not a store. It's the office, though. But on Freeman Way, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant in Central Point, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And you can go there and buy these kind of supplies at his cost. No markup on it. Just wants to make sure people can get it. I got a water pick from him the other day because, like I said, I'm trying to save this one tooth of mine, and I have been blasting away nightly thanks to Dr. Steve. Maybe you can too, all right? Dale from Medford writes, Bill, I just saw the articles about the money coming into the state, $1.4 million to help homeless vets, and $30 million for wildlife and restoration of sports fish. Well, you know for sure who is more important, or rather what. I certainly hope that the Trump administration can get priorities worked out for the better. Yeah, homeless vets, $1.4 million, kind of a, that's not even really a rounding number for an entire state, is it, Dale? Very interesting point. I appreciate you writing about that. We got to Claire. Claire says, Claire Thornton says, hey, Bill, does Medford still have a sundown law in place that it mandated blacks to leave Medford city limits by sundown? I just thought of this because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day the other day. You know, Claire, I don't believe so. I think anything like that was repealed long ago. And, you know, you go back in Southern Oregon history that many of the towns had sundowner laws back in the day. I think Medford may have had one. I know, oddly enough, ironically, Ashland had one. Ashland had a very strict one. In fact, there's a picture that Al Doty sent me a number of years ago. I have it in my file someplace, but it's a picture that he had saved that showed the Ku Klux Klan marching in downtown Ashland. It must have been in the 1915s, 1920s era, and it was kind of weird to look at that going on. It's like you couldn't even imagine something like that, in today's way of looking at the world. But, yeah, we used to have a bit of that going on, and naturally not enforced any longer. But I don't know. I doubt highly that Medford would still have something like that on the books. And if anybody could let me know if they know differently, please do. The email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. There was Aaron who wrote me this morning. My pebble in the shoe, even though it was from yesterday, is that so many people think that most illegal immigrants should be able to stay even if they aren't guilty of a violent crime. One reason we have vetted people and put them through the immigration process, even though it can be lengthy, is to better guarantee the immigrants' success once they become citizens. They have to learn about history, culture, and must learn to speak and understand our English language. It isn't compassionate to dump people into a world that they don't understand. I haven't heard anyone on the left or the right address this. Aaron, I really appreciate you writing about that. Dale also says another comment about our new leader. He sure is going to cause the progressive Democrats. They'll be searching for a new human leader for their real leader. to replace the AI bot known as Biden, huh? That's pretty interesting. And let's see, was there another one here? Just want to make sure. Oh, and now our this came from Bob. And now our governor is implying that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would be supporting the state DEI programs. The state budget's in excess of $94 million in its budget alone for this. I personally supported Dr. King's passion, but I would truly question him accepting the tolerance of such a sick and diverse society as a result of his life's mission with equality for all human rights. Thanks for all you do, Bill. Bob. Yeah, I don't think that that Martin Luther King Jr. would have been fine with being forced to admit people or put people in strictly and only because of the color of their skin. It seemed to be against everything that he had worked for all his life, okay? Point well taken, Bob. Thanks for emailing bill@billmyershow.com. 3 minutes after 8, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KPXG, Grants Pass. Translators K290AF to... I better do it properly. K290AF Rogue River, K294AS Ashland. We'll check some news coming up. Captain Bill wants to catch us up on the wild horses because he might be part of an Oscar award-winning film or something which could get the Oscar. We'll tell you more about that next.
One of each K4.